Pierre Lumumba here at the Ngong Hills Wind Power Station, situated in Kajiado County in the Republic of Kenya. And we continue our conversation around the diaspora. When we talk about the diaspora, Asia never comes to mind. And that is because the population of persons of African descent in that part of the world has not been as active as persons of African descent in different parts of the world. But history teaches us that quite a sizable population of persons of African descent migrated to India, Pakistan, and even Sri Lanka. So that when you hear of the Sidhis in India, or the Shidis in Pakistan, or the Kafirs in Sri Lanka, which at one time was known as Ceylon, these are persons of African descent. But it must be remembered that because of religion, because of Buddhism, because of Hinduism, and because of Islam, and because of the lack of connectivity with the continent of Africa, that intimacy has disappeared over the years. But during the struggle for independence, there is a sense in which the historical component may not have played a very major part, but as certain individuals who are present, particularly in India, during the early days of the struggle for independence, were persons who originated the ideas when they were in the continent of Africa. Many will remember that Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, otherwise known as the Mahatma, was actually in South Africa when he was invited by Professor Gokhale to travel back to New Delhi to help in the fight against British colonization. So his connection with the continent of Africa was later to become very significant, and particularly with regard to Eastern Africa, because most of the laws that were introduced in countries such as Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania were incubated in India. The Indian Transfer of Property Act, particularly in Kenya and Uganda, because Tanzania or Tanganyika was a trust territory and did not bear the brunt of this law. But after that, there was also a lot of movement between particularly East Africa and India. Many people went to India to study law as a halfway house between the United Kingdom and Africa. Many also studied business administration. So you have that population that is to be found in India, and some of them, not many, settled in India or doing business in India, are persons of African descent. Much, much later, we started seeing persons of African descent, particularly in Hong Kong. This can also be understood in the context of history, because countries such as Uganda and Tanzania, particularly the West, did not have quite a relationship with Asia in that manner. You can say distance was one of the reasons why this did not happen. Then, a lot more recently, with China. And when one talks China, one must remember particularly the presence of the Chinese or persons of Chinese descent in Malagasy of Madagascar. So you have quite a presence of persons of African descent who are from Malagasy or Madagascar, or the smaller islands of Mauritius, some say even the Seychelles, some say even the Koi in Southern Africa, some of them may have interacted with the Chinese. So when we talk about the African diaspora, is not one that is very well cultivated, but recent history also demonstrates to us that a lot of things have been happening as trade has been expanding, particularly with the movement of Asians. It must be remembered that when the British were building the East African Railway, or what was then called the Ugandan Railway, a lot of coolies came from India. And it is these coolies who then participated in the construction of the railway. And you can talk about the East African Indian. They did not marry or intermarry as one would have expected, because they tended to be secluded. And this seclusion can be seen in the context largely of culture and religion, which did not allow for intimate interaction. But that notwithstanding, you do have a reasonably sized persons of African descent in Asia. And with the continuing realization that this connection ought not to be lost. Remember the caste system in India. We don't talk about it as often as we should. But in India, it is still the truth that the more dark-skinned you are, the more discriminated sometimes you are in society. And people with such disabilities, so to speak, are quick to say, but we must have come from somewhere. And this, I think, is bringing to the fore the conversation. Even the Rohingyas at one time were beginning to wonder whether their origin was in the continent of Africa. It is a contentious debate. There are some historical anthropologists who say that you never know, Africa is the mother continent. But if we are to contemporize the debate, it must be concluded that the African diaspora that we is worth of talking about in terms of economic activity are those who have gone to the continent of Eurasia in the recent past, and that is to mean less than 100 years ago, and their prominence are in to be found in different parts of India. Kerala is an area where you find such people. You also find quite a sprinkling of them in New Delhi. You find a sprinkling in Bombay. You find a sprinkling in Gujarat. You also find a sprinkling in Goa. And of course, I've already indicated that you find quite a sprinkling of them in Hong Kong. In the recent past, in the continent of Asia, in China, you now have sizable population in places such as Shanghai and Guangzhou, and a sizable population in Beijing. And there is also intermarriage. And I know quite a number of people who have actually married Chinese women and vice versa. So this diaspora is also becoming very important in terms of connectivity. And this may be a very tenuous connection, but as South to South relationship becomes stronger and stronger, and as people move a lot more, I am of the considered view that the economic value of these Africans in the diaspora in Asia is going to become a lot more prominent. Remember, it is now the case that many Indian institutions, many Chinese institutions are becoming very present in the continent of Africa. And we must never forget, when we talk about Asia, we sometimes forget South Korea. We sometimes forget Japan. And I know that although the Japanese did not very much accommodate Africans, it is true that through JICA and through interaction, there is now a sizable population, sizable with relativity in Japan. I can confirm that I know people who are married to Japanese women and vice versa. I also know that there are people who are married to South Korean women. So Africans are beginning to venture into Asia, and it is becoming a lot more now with the Chinese. Remember that the Chinese have opened Confucius Institutes in almost every major university in Africa. And what is happening is that Kenyans and Ugandans and Nigerians and Tanzanians and many Africans, even Nigerians and Ghanaians, are beginning to learn Mandarin. So you are beginning to have a sizable diaspora in China going forward. India particularly also must be remembered during the administration, particularly of Jawaharlal Nehru, and during the administration of Indira Gandhi. There was a lot of India to Africa engagement through the Gandhi Foundation. The Gandhi Foundation was very strong, and I know for a fact, for example, that the University of Nairobi did receive quite some massive support from the Gandhi Foundation, and many Africans then acquired the appetite and had the comfort to be in Asia. And they too are beginning to engage with the African continent. And the other thing that has helped that relationship is dual citizenship. Although India does not grant her citizenship, Pakistan does not do so, Sri Lanka does not do so, China does not do so, Japan does not do so, or South Korea does not do so as easily as one would expect. But residency is now beginning to encourage Africans within those spaces to recognize that they can be in those spaces and continue to participate in the affairs of their country. So compared to other parts of the world, persons of African descent have not been present in Asia in the manner in which we know. But when one talked about the Sidis, the Shidis, and the Kafirs in India, Pakistan, and Ceylon or Sri Lanka in the manner that I narrated, it tells you that the interaction was there a long time ago. Some even say as early as 7 BC. And this is to be understood because of the proximity between Africa and India, separated by what the Indians call the Indian Ocean. And some Africans now prefer to call the African Ocean. That is a debate that we are going to carry on another day. But today we are focused on the question of the diaspora in the Asian continent. And let us debunk this untruth that they were not there. They were there, they are there, they are making a contribution, and they are to be recognized. And I believe that in the context of latter-day development, particularly south-to-south trade, you are going to see a lot more people getting into those spaces, and those who are of African origin who are in those spaces are going to begin to identify with the African continent a lot more intimately, and in that way, the connectivity and interconnectedness will become a lot more. And these are areas where one would also invite anthropological historians to begin to write about. One would expect that African universities, and indeed Asian universities, would be undertaking this kind of research so that diaspora studies becomes a focal point in terms of human-to-human interrelatedness. Ladies and gentlemen, the continent of Africa, something new always comes out of it, and it's those new things that we are wrapping our minds around. Let us take a break, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.